Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Giants Insider Podcast, which is now presented by Wendy's. Very excited to have them on board as a sponsor, mostly because I survived on Wendy's as a freshman in college. There was one right in the middle of UC Santa Barbara's campus, and that was huge. So shout out to them, Wendy's, coming on board to sponsor our podcast. And the first one here is kind of a different one. I talked to Tyler Sear and Andrew Suarez before they made their Cactus League debuts, before the Giants played their first game. That game was today. The Giants lost 6-5 to the Brewers. They made six errors, so it's all uphill from here. But the pitchers did a good job today. Suarez, in particular, pitched very well. Two innings, three hits, three strikeouts for him. And really, I think, is somebody we're going to see pretty early in the season. The front office likes him a lot. He is kind of competing for that fifth spot, and Ty Block also pitched very well. So those two got off to a good start. The podcast here, first it is Tyler Sear, who's a right-handed reliever, Andrew Suarez, left-handed starter. And then at the very end, just a brief clip from Bruce Bochy after today's game, talking about Block and Suarez and kind of the competition there. So again, thank you for tuning in. First, Tyler Sear, and then Andrew Suarez. All right, Tyler Sear, I'm talking to you on a day when you were going to make your debut, I think, or you're scheduled to make your debut. First of all, what's the excitement level to know you're probably going to get into a Cactus League game?
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. You know, obviously, this is where you want to be playing at the top level. And to put the icing on the cake, it's day one. So I'm excited to get out there and compete. It's going to be fun.
You were just telling me you came over here a lot. They bring minor league guys to fill in. What are those days like when they bring you? I know guys are always excited, not just to sit in the dugout, but get back there, get the big league meal and work out in the gym. Was that something that at the minor league facility guys are trying to get on that list to get over here?
Yeah, definitely. You know, if on the minor league side, if you get on that list, they have faith in you to throw strikes. They're not going to bring you over here to, you know, not give guys a chance to put the ball in play. So I was really excited last year when I had a lot of opportunities to do that. And when I was down in the bullpen, pretty much just listen to guys, you know, ask a couple questions. You know, not many. Obviously, guys have their routine and are focused. You know, and I'm expecting the same thing from the guys who are going to be coming this year.
Being here actually in camp, what's stood out to you the first couple of weeks? Is there a story from the backfield or something you've gotten to do with a veteran or Buster or somebody?
Yeah, obviously, you know, we're all around. A lot of the guys, I think the chemistry has stood out to me the most. Not just between the, you know, the veterans and the guys on the 25-man roster, but, you know, everyone as a whole. I think that everyone's kind of blending in pretty well. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that stood out to me is just the chemistry and how everyone's, you know, starting to bond.
I know you weren't on the team last year, but I grew up a Giants fan, so probably followed, and you're in the system, so followed quite a bit what was happening. Can you feel a different vibe around this team? I mean, I do as a guy who's in the clubhouse, but is it noticeable when you guys have your meetings, when you guys are on the backfields, things we don't see?
Yeah, I mean, even as a guy who wasn't on the 25-man roster last year in the big leagues, I'm still upset that, you know, we didn't do well as a fan and as someone in the organization. And I definitely think there's a different aura around everyone. You could tell everyone's a little pissed off. And at the same time, everyone's handling their business with a little chip on their shoulder. And I think the energy, obviously, is still spring, but you could tell that everyone's really positive. And you could tell that we're not talking about last year. We're moving forward and going to be working on this year.
Is that something you've noticed from veterans? I mean, do they take that down to the guys who might be part of this team this year? It's just like, that can never happen again type of thing?
Yeah, definitely. Guys are talking about it. It's not something that's an elephant in the room. We're definitely older guys are talking about it, and they're making sure that doesn't happen again. And they're taking accountability. They're not making excuses. They're definitely learning from it, and they're spreading that knowledge down to us, the younger guys.
So you're a Fremont guy, right? You're born and raised there? I know you're born there.
Yeah.
How did you become a Giants fan, first of all? Because that... Yeah. that's East Bay, right? So it could be A's territory.
Yeah. Well, Barry Bonds was the easiest way to do that, you know. And then going forward from the Barry Bonds era was obviously the run of the playoffs and the World Series makes it easy to do that, right? And not just that, the Bay Area culture is all about the Bay Area. It's a huge sports area. I mean, tons of professional teams. And I think as a kid, you just love the game. Mm-hmm. And so I love the Giants. I love the A's. I love the Sharks, the Niners. Not so much the Raiders. but, you know, that's just how it is.
So you're pretty excited right now. You got the Warriors going. Garoppolo.
Yep.
You're in camp with the Giants. This mm-hmm. must be, I mean, not just for you, but your family, I would imagine. They must be flipping out when they see you. You're decked out head to toe in Giants big league gear right now.
Yeah, definitely. Family's freaking out. They'll definitely be here in a big wave come in the middle of March. We have about 52 tickets coming. Yeah, 52
people.
Yeah, so there's gonna be a lot of people coming by. So it's gonna be exciting.
Does Boach know that he needs to keep you here until whatever?
I don't know if he knows that.
I'll let him know. You need to be pitching. If there are 52 people buying tickets here,
those are
expensive too.
So yeah, so whatever happens, happens. But, I mean, they've been doing this way before I was a Giant. So, you know, it's just cool to see that now that I am coming, the number's kind of grown a little bit. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
As a kid, did you ever – I'm sure you went to the ballpark a lot, mm-hmm. but did you ever come out here and do the Scottsdale Stadium thing?
No, I couldn't do the Scottsdale Stadium thing. School. It was school. I already missed enough school playing, you know, travel baseball in April and May. So, you know, this was the family time to get away from me as a young man when I was a kid growing up in straight school.
Is there anybody in there – I mean, you're still young, so is there anybody in there that you look at and go, hey, I went to a lot of games.
I've
watched you play. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these guys, I guess the veterans on this team have been around for about a decade now. Yeah. So have you told any of them that you watched them play, whether it was in high school or college?
No, I haven't really told any of them. I didn't want to be, you know, that fanboy, but... I could name a list of guys. From Pablo and Buster and Bum to San Jose Giants days. And then one of my first batters during live was Pablo. So, you know, that was pretty cool. But, you know, we're all in the same goal right now. You know, we're trying to make the team. And not just that, we want to have a winning culture in San Francisco. So I'm going to let that take care of itself, and I'll put the fanboy stuff aside.
For now. I looked up, you went to, I'm going to read this so I get it right, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University.
Yeah.
And I know of Embry-Riddle, but the aeronautical part, does that mean you were taking like flying classes, like space classes? What does that
so
entail?
I wasn't doing that, but that's the main thing at that school is the aerospace engineering program. And also our school was on an airport. So obviously flight, aside from that, you know, it was...
you were focused on
baseball. Yeah, I was focused on baseball, but the main thing I was focused on was Homeland Security and counterterrorism. So that was my major, and it was so difficult for me because it was so demanding as a student that it made the baseball side of things a lot easier.
Yeah. So if you had not gotten drafted right mm-hmm. now, you would be
hopefully
working for Homeland or working for...
Yeah, hopefully working for like Lockheed Martin or a private contractor or somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different than what we usually
see
in there. Yeah. What was the process for you when you got drafted and to mm-hmm. be a Giant and to come up through here?
Obviously, excitement was the first thing that went through my mind. You know, my draft process was a little bit more complex than others just because I didn't go to a big-time school. Mm-hmm. So obviously they were faced with, you know, is the competition level the same? So I had to prove myself a little more than others. And luckily enough, my hometown team picked me. And going from there, came out here to, you know, Scottsdale and kind of took it from there and been having fun ever since.
So that allowed you to do something really cool this offseason. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about this, the fundraiser you had for after the fire. How did that come about? Are you still doing that? I know you're doing some stuff with Brandon Bishop, but what was that whole process like?
Yeah, so pretty much, you know, at the end of every year, we always have this extra gear. And I kind of got disgusted by just the amount of stuff we throw away. And it's all quality stuff. Most of the stuff is, you know, relatively new. A handful of stuff is new. So, you know, we went from there and ended up getting all that equipment. And I reached out to my agency and said, this is what I have an idea of. And they ended up doing some research and found someone in the Bay Area already had a platform set up for that. So I kind of joined his goals and kind of we talked about it. And he was totally fine with it, you know, being a Bay Area guy and also having the Giants platform behind me. So we went from there. ended up, you know, asking him if I could donate equipment as well as, you know, try to raise money. So I opened up a GoFundMe, and the goal was, like, at first, I was maybe $500, right, mm-hmm. just to pay to ship the equipment.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it jumped up to around, you know, just over $1,500. And pretty much that's what we raised from there. And there was a whole bunch of people like me who also did that. Obviously, you know, some smaller platforms, some bigger, but the total goal was $70,000 that we raised. And there was 280 kids. Every kid got a $250 gift card upon arrival. Older kids, high school and junior college, that were directly affected had first pick at the equipment.
It was a very cool thing you did. I think a lot of Giants fans saw that, and mm-hmm. I'm sure it helped with that. They will probably not. I mean, today's game, it's a Friday. It's the first mm-hmm. game of the spring, so not a lot of opportunities for people to actually watch, but mm-hmm. for anybody who hasn't seen you, who didn't see you come up through the system, what do you like to do out there on the mound? What's your go-to? What's your out pitch?
Yeah. I'd say I like to have fun. Obviously, you'll see me out there.
We've always seen that in camp, yeah.
You know, the second thing is, you know, it's definitely a business now, so I like to go about my business like a man. And my go-to stuff is probably my fastball and deception. Going from there, I have a really good changeup that no one really knows about at the time. Obviously, being here, they're gonna start seeing things. Everyone thinks it's a slider or a curveball, but it's a changeup. Also have a hard slider and a curveball. So people don't really know that, but out of the bullpen, I'm a four-pitch guy, which is rare. So yeah. I kind of use that to my advantage and mix it up likewise.
Have you taken anything grip-wise from anybody here? You guys have so much time to stand around and just have a baseball in your hand.
Yeah.
Johnny has one of the best changeups in baseball. There's a lot of good sliders in that bullpen.
Yeah.
Have you talked to anybody about that specifically?
Yeah, a lot of deception here in the Giants. My biggest thing was, you know, we're always fumbling around with our grips. My biggest thing was remembering your grip when it works. So Chris Stratton told me that. Mad Bum told him last year, whenever you find your grip and it's working well, grab that ball and trace your fingers. So I did that with all my pitches.
So you did that on the base.
Exactly. You have a baseball, and you put your grips on there, and you obviously write what grip it is, right? And so that was my thing. I grabbed all my grips when I found a day that I was working. Maybe my curveball wasn't working very well. They say, okay, now it is. You know, you start tracing your grips, your cutter, your sinker, right? You start tracing all those grips, and that's kind of something you could always fall back to. You keep that ball. When it's not working well for you, go back, grab it, and you're like, it just simplifies things, right? This is my grip.
Yeah. It's Bumgarner's secret.
Yeah.
There's got to be a baseball out there that's like 2014 World Series with the trace of this is what was working.
Yeah.
Well, it's been fun having you and getting to know you here and talking to you on the day where you hopefully will make your debut, but whether it's today or soon, do you have an idea of when you stand on the mound for the first time? Is it looking in at Hundley or Trevor or whoever, or do you have an idea of what you want to do with that first pitch?
Throw a strike. Yeah, that's
good
the biggest
idea.
Thing. Yeah. You know, throw a strike. Luckily, I've had the opportunity to pitch here in the fall league. Obviously, this is a little bit bigger stage than that, but it's the same game, right? We'll always play the same game. I try to treat it like that. Obviously, here you got to be a little more focused. Mistakes are, you know, glorified a little bit, so that's the goal. Strike one.
First pitch fastball?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll find out. Yeah. Tyler, thank you for taking the time, and good luck this spring.
Definitely, no problem. Thank you.
All right, here with Andrew Suarez, also Andy Suarez, so either one, I guess, is fine. Interesting camp for you. You're coming in with the real opportunity, I think, to open some eyes, and whether it's opening day or sometime early in the season, put yourself in the mix to be in the rotation. Do you kind of feel that pressure or the opportunity? How are you handling this camp?
I mean, I'm just going through it one day at a time. I'm trying to definitely have a better big league camp than I had last year. I didn't do so well, so you know, this year I'm just trying to do what I did during the season and just be more relaxed and throw strikes.
I've talked to Beattie about this. He had his first time out, I think it was 2 years ago. It was rough on the mound here. Is it something, the first time here, to just having big leaguers behind you, facing big leaguers, is it a hard adjustment for you guys?
I don't think it's an adjustment. I think we just try too much, and you know, like for me, I was trying to overthrow and trying to strike everyone out instead of, you know, playing my game. And yeah, I think that's what happened, and I just kept throwing a lot of balls. I walked a lot of guys, and I was the first one to get sent back to the minor league camp.
Your reputation is not being that guy. I've heard you compared to Ty Block a little bit as somebody who just really knows how to pitch out there, and I think that's what they like about you. I mean, what are you trying to do on the mound? Is, like you said, you not focus too much on strikeouts, or are you trying to work quickly, or just let these guys get themselves out?
Yeah, I mean, definitely first pitch strikes is going to be huge. And for me, it's, I try to get, you know, three pitches or less, because I try to go deep into games, and that's my thing. And, you know, once I get two strikes, and I try to go for the strikeout until I'm like 2-2 count. And then after that, I'm just trying to get another ground ball or fly ball.
How did you feel last year about the year you had it? I mean, from what I heard, very close to being here in September. Maybe things have worked out differently.
I started off slow, but, you know, I think I got better on throughout the season. I just relaxed and learned a lot from, you know, Klein, my pitching coach in Richmond. And, you know, when I got up to AAA, my catchers, like, you know, Brownie and Fed, you know, they helped me out a lot. And, you know, yeah, I was happy the way I ended the year, and, you know, I was healthy. And that's all that matters.
Coming in here, what's one thing? I mean, you guys, the cool thing about being in camp here is you learned last year, you get to spend a lot of time with, whether it's throwing a buster or spending time with Bumgarner and Cueto during drills. I mean, what's one thing that maybe has stood out to you, an experience you've had over the first week here that's something you'll cherish?
Definitely throwing a buster. He's caught, you know, two of my bullpens, and he caught my live BP the other day. And, you know, once I finish throwing, you know, he tells me what he saw and what I should work on and things like that. So I think that's definitely one of the things I would not forget.
He's a guy I've watched. He did it with Fernandez the other day, too. Just went out right away and tried to give him a little bit of advice. What kind of things does he tell you, especially after a live BP?
Mostly more like sequences and, you know, what I should throw after that pitch and, you know, things like that. Where I should locate it, you know, whether it's a sinker or four-seam fastball, you know, things like that.
You get in there the other day and McCutchen digs in against you. What was that like seeing him?
I'm just glad it didn't go over the fence, but you know, once he hit it, I knew he got it pretty good, and yeah, I just kept looking. I heard the fans all yelling, and I was like, you know, like crap. He hit it over 430 feet, so and I was just glad it didn't go over the fence.
Well, he took Bumgarner deep, so you kept him in the park. That's a pretty good accomplishment there. What do you take away from a session like that, facing him? And I mean, that group is kind of loaded. That Buster's catching, but Longoria, Pence. Are you focused more on what you're doing, or can you take away something from facing those guys in YBP?
I was just more focused on what I was doing, and then, you know, once I finished, I asked them, you know, what they saw and, you know, things like that, and they said that I looked good, I had good sequences, and I had good stuff. So, you know, I always try to get feedback from the guys.
You're a Miami guy. Were you back there in the off season?
Yeah, I worked out there. Been working out there every off season. We have a, you know, group of guys there from alumni and everything. So, you know, we all just stay together, and it's great because, you know, we have throwing partners, we hit there, and, you know, things like that.
Did you, being in Miami when all the Stanton stuff is going on, were you paying more attention to it or trying not to pay attention to it, knowing that you might be in a deal like that? I think that was one of the names that was thrown about as somebody that they liked.
I don't know. I don't really watch much like TV, but, you know, I get friends and family text me saying, you know, are you going to get traded? Yeah. Or they're asking me if I'm getting traded and all these things. But I didn't really, like, worry too much about it. You know, if it happened, it happened. But I'm glad it didn't.
Did you grow up a Marlins fan?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, they were good back then, you know, 97, 03. Mm-hmm. My Little League coach played in the 97 team. So, yeah, and my grandparents, you know, loved watching, like, going to the games. So I'd always go to the games and, you know, look up to those guys.
What's it like being a young kid and cheering for that team, and then they had the same routine? They would get good and get into the postseason, then tear it down. I guess when you were younger, that probably hurts a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sucked. Like 97, I was, you know, I was 5 years old, so I didn't really know. But yeah, like, once you got older and you see like that roster they had and like the guys that they traded right after that, you know, it kind of sucks like seeing that. But I mean, it happens. Like, I guess that's business.
What's your goal for this spring? You've gotten your feet wet now, and I think you're pitching on Saturday, so, or that's what we've been told, or tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow.
Friday. One of these days, yeah. So what's your goal when you go out there to try to show these guys, knowing that there's an opportunity for you?
I'm just going to, you know, try to be relaxed and just focus on throwing strikes, and that's about it. Trying to show them, you know, that I could pitch in this level.
All right, Andrew, well, we saw you last year a little bit. I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of you this year. Thank you for taking the time, and good luck with your first few outings here.
All right, thank you for having me.
All right, those are the two pitching prospects who made their debuts today. Again, the Giants Insider Podcast presented by Wendy's. If you like what you hear, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Play. That helps us quite a bit. Also helps to leave a review, as I say all the time. And on the way out here, we'll be back next week with more, but on the way out here is Bruce Bochy talking about some of today's pitchers.
He threw great. I mean, Bach was, when he missed, he just missed, but he was right on with all his pitches. Impressive outing for Ty and Suarez. Both solid two innings. Really, pitching was good. We just got sloppy there in the middle of the game, the end of the game. But I was pleased with the pitching all day.
Given what's at stake for those two young guys, good to see them start that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be every outing is going to determine what happens, though. But it's good to see them get off to a good start. It's got to be good for their confidence. They were facing some pretty good hitters there, too. And I just thought their execution was really good. And that's a good sign when you have two guys that you're looking at that threw the ball so well.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.